In Romans chapter 1, the passage we had read to us, it's the tail end of a passage there. It starts in about verse 18, and it talks about what happens when you reject God and those people that had rejected God and the things that they were guilty of. And among those things, in the right smack in the middle of that list, is very easy to kind of skip over, is the fact that they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God. Those phrases are all intertwined. And so a lot of times we think that gossip isn't anything important. It's not something that we many people pay attention to. As a matter of fact, a lot of people kind of like it a little bit, and we'll be talking about that in a moment. But I want us to talk about gossip. I presented a similar lesson a few years ago, and I was reading up some articles on gossip, and they brought out a couple of good points, and I looked back and I said, you know what, I haven't done this one in a while, several years now. So I went ahead and pulled it out of the mothballs there and reworked it. And so I want us to go back and consider gossip and what God, what His opinion is about gossip, and also what we need to be careful about with regard to gossip. Is anything that I say when somebody's not around, is that gossip? If I happen to be talking to Mike about something that happened and mentioned somebody's name or something, is that automatically gossip because I mentioned somebody's name? Or if I'm talking to Steve or Steve comes to me and asks me a question about, hey, you know, I've got a situation with so-and-so, what do you think I should do with that? Is that gossip? You know, and some people think that any time you mention somebody else, automatically it's gossip, and I think that's going a little bit too far. But it is something that we need to be careful about. It is something that will sneak into our habits and into our conversations. Not everything is gossip, but we do need to be careful because I think sometimes things that we don't think are gossip really are. There is a way to that we can look at what we are talking about, and that will help us to minimize, at least, if not completely eliminate, gossip in our lives. About 1,500 years ago, Gregory the First came up with a list of his that become very popular, and that is the seven deadly sins. This work was not new to him. He wasn't something that he just invented out of whole cloth. He had worked with older lists in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, chapter 6, verses 16 and 18. God talks about things that he hates, six things and seven that he doesn't like. And in the New Testament, book of Galatians, for example, Paul talks about it, and it gives a list of some of the things that are the fruit of the flesh, or things that people do when they are living a worldly life. And as a matter of fact, there was a 4th century monk who had made a list of 8 evil thoughts. And so Gregory the First wasn't the first one to come up with this, but you know what? He left one out. The 8th deadly sin. He didn't include gossip in there, and I'm here to correct that. Well, it's oversight that he made when he made that list. It should have been the 8 deadly sins. I read this this slight article, a small article, and I just want us to consider these things. We know the answer, but let's consider this. I have no respect. Who am I? I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I'm cruel and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I'm quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I'm nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it's never the same. I divide governments and ruin marriages. I destroy careers, cause heartache and sleepless nights. I wreck churches and separate Christians. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry on their pillows. Even my name hisses. I'm gossip. I am gossip. And you think about that, and every one of those statements is true. You can't fight gossip because the more you look for it, the more elusive it becomes. Well, so-and-so said that, and no, I didn't say that. It was so-and-so, and you never get to the end of it. And sometimes you become part of that chain. But it's gossip that does all those things. It ruins churches and marriages. It ruins friendship, no matter at what level of society you are. The latter part of it is, don't worry about me. You're not guilty of using me. They are. And that is the biggest warning right there. Too many of us will inadvertently participate in gossip. Without even thinking about it, without knowing that we are, without considering that we may be. It is something that is easy to participate in without knowing about it or without considering it. And we really need to, because it is a sin. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8. And I want us to look at the phrases that are used there regarding the gossip. Proverbs 18:8. Says, the work of a whisperer is like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. We have a fascination with it. They're like delicious morsels. You know, you ever go and when you're at a party or at a buffet or something, and if you see a big piece of cake or something, you may say, no, that's not going to be good for me or whatever. But if it's cut up into little tiny pieces, you could say, I'll take a few of these. They won't hurt me. And I'll take a few more. They didn't hurt me, so I'll take a few more. And you have a tendency, because of a smaller bite, to take more and more and more, to partake of them more. Gossip is like that a lot of times, like dainty morsels, like delicious little morsels. You take just a little bit, and take 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 a little bit, and they've done the damage, but you don't consider it because it's kind of gone under the radar. Sometimes gossip is like that. You know, we can look at our lives. What things do we participate in? What things do we like that are participating in gossip? Talk shows participate in gossip. Reality shows. You're looking into somebody else's lives, and that really, you know, why should you care what they're doing? Things on social media. Tabloids, gossip columns. You know, you start reading, well, you know, so-and-so was at such-and-such a place Friday night. Wonder what that could have been about. Who really cares why they were there? But if you've already read it, and so now it's in there. And all it is that just participating in gossip. And that's one of the problems with gossip. That we take it in on a constant thing. A lot of times what we call news is nothing but gossip, part of it. Much news is really just gossip. That's what it is. You start listening to some of the news, and it's filler, and it's like, do I really care about this? What this movie star did, you know, or what she was wearing, or, you know, the new tattoo that he got, or whatever, you know, do I really care about that? But, you know, you read about it. It's a friend of mine used to say when somebody was gossiping, he would say, oh, they're just giving you something to pray about, you know. Or he would say, hey, I've got something that you could pray about. And it was, you know, a bit of gossip. And he was, of course, playing with it and joking around about it. But, you know, he didn't gossip. But, you know, he would joke around like that, say, you know. And it's true, though, that some people will disguise their gossip, or will try to change it so that it doesn't look like gossip. But you know, it is. But it is. And we have to be real careful about that. That's one of the big points that I want us to understand tonight, is that a lot of times we think that we are not participating in it only because we have fooled ourselves, only because we have named it something else, put it under a different category, and so therefore we claim, oh, I'm not gossiping, you know, I'm doing this or that. But we need to consider that we're corrupted by gossip. This verse is telling us it's like dainty little morsels. You keep partaking of them. Once we eat it up, the phrase goes, then it'll eat us up. Once we partake of enough gossip, then you know, pretty soon it affects us inwardly. Like the feather pillow analogy, probably most of us have heard it. Is a victim of gossip, and the gossiper recognizes that that he has gossiped, or she has gossiped, whatever the story, maybe however you heard it, that and goes to apologize, and so the person who's been injured takes a pillow full of feathers and goes up to the second story window, and he cracks it open. He kind of just pours it out and just kind of floats all over the place. And he says, you know, okay, well, now go and gather them all up and put them back in the pillow. And the point is that once it's out there, you really can't put it all back in. It just, no matter how hard you try, there are going to be some that didn't make it back in. And that's how reputation is. That's how gossip is. Once it gets out, you never can really rein it in. You can't really bring it back in. Even if you apologize, even if you repent of it, it's better not to have participated in it than it is to try to correct it once it's already done. You do damage that you can't undo. And again, like alcoholism or any other type of bad character trait, you can easily recognize it in others, but not in yourself. You can look at somebody and say, you know, that person has a problem with alcohol, or that person has a problem with gambling, or with whatever. Even if that person can't see it, but you don't see it in yourself that easy. And that's what Jesus is talking about when in Matthew chapter 7, where he says, take the beam out of your own eye, then you can help the other person. He says, you need to examine yourself first. It's easy to see when somebody else is participating in gossip, but it's a lot more difficult when we're doing it, when we're participating in it. Where does gossip come from? The Bible uses a bunch of different words for a gossip. It uses the word whisperer, backbiter, talebearer, a rumor, idle talk, all sorts of different phrases like that refer to basically the same thing. And it's gossiping. That's talking about somebody saying things that really you don't need to be saying, you shouldn't be saying. And it's not always because they're lies. You know, included in that is not a liar, because it could very well be that what you're saying is true. It could be an inversion of truth. It could be a corrupted truth. But it may be a completely true statement that you still have no business passing on to other people. It's somebody who whispers, you know, secrets or bears tales or, you know, all that stuff. And God puts all those together. He puts them all in the same category of sin. And being a sin, it originates with Satan. Alright? It's a sin of the tongue. If you go to James chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, you can see that it is, we have to be careful about our tongue, with our tongue, that we don't use it for evil, as well as the same tongue that we use to praise God, we should not be using for doing evil things. And it is a sin of the tongue, but ultimately, it's a sin of the heart. Because what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart, Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verses 44 and 45. It's that which comes out of the mouth is what is in your heart. So if it's a sin of the tongue, it's because that is ultimately a sin of the heart, the inner man. It is a problem that you have not with your tongue, but with your heart, with yourself. When you participate in it, you're doing the work of the devil. The devil is one of the titles that's used for the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses people. And when you are gossiping, you are accusing them behind their back of whatever it is that they're you claim that they're doing. You are causing people to instead of being edified, you're tearing down. Friendships, you're tearing down people's opinions of you yourself, and as well as the one that you may be gossiping about. And so you're doing the devil's work when you are participating in gossip. It's not just a harmless thing. It's something that is very serious when we're doing that. And why? There's a few different reasons. One, John talks about the fact that Diotrephes, because of his pride, because he wanted to be first among everybody else, he was bad-mouthing John and other people. And so sometimes pride is what causes you to participate in gossip. You may think that you deserve that position in at work or whatever, and somebody else got it, or is looking like he's going to get it. You may participate in gossip to tear that person down, to get doubt out there, and that's not good. Somebody may have done something to you, and now you're going to get back at them because of your pride, and so you badmouth them, you whisper about them, and that's not a good thing at all. So pride sometimes causes you to participate in gossip. Other times, it's just idleness. It's just that you just are busy doing the wrong things. You are not busy doing what God wants you to do. And rather, you have too much time on your hands, and you start doing those things which are not good. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, where people were not working, and so they participated in their idleness. They were going from house to house, and they were participating. One of the things they were doing was idle speak. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, again, widows who were not busy doing serving the ministry to the saints and not busy doing what they should have been doing were busy going from house to house and participating in idle chatter. And so, you know, sometimes it's just because you got nothing better to do, and it's the default action in your life. And so you need to be real careful. Sometimes you do it because you want to hurt somebody, and sometimes you do it just because you're not paying attention, because you're participating in idleness, which is also a sin. One of the things that's been helpful to me in deciding if something is gossip or not is the question, is it a 10? T-E-N. And then each of those represent a word. Is it a 10? Is it, first of all, true? In Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 25, we ask, or excuse me, we read that Paul says, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, he says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And we're supposed to speak truth. Now, like I said, sometimes that doesn't eliminate all gossip, because some gossip you may participate in may be true. But that's an important thing that we need to remember. Is it true? That's going to wipe out a lot of gossip, because stuff that you can't verify is true, it may be true, but if you can't verify that it's true, you have no business saying it. If there's any kind of doubt in your mind as to whether something is true or not, don't say it. You don't have any business saying it to anybody if there's any chance that it could be false. That's going to eliminate a lot of gossip out of your mouth. But you know what? Sometimes you may tell somebody something, and it may be true. I want to look at a couple of examples. We don't want to go to an extreme on this, because the Bible doesn't go to take us to an extreme on this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11, we have only mention of Chloe in the New Testament. And Paul says that if her people, whether that means her family or her servants, is not fully agreed upon, but her people tell Paul about what's going on there with the divisions that are over there. And the question is, was she participating, or was her family or servants, were they participating in gossip? Because Paul wasn't there, and she told him about what was going on over there. But he notice, first of all, he names her so that for everybody to know who it is that participating. It wasn't something that was a big secret. It wasn't something that was done for the purpose of tearing somebody down, but rather it was so that he could correct that problem there and get them on the right track. And it proved to be reliable. It proved that what she was saying was reliable. It was true, what she was saying, and so I don't believe that this falls into gossip. Not everything that you say or report is automatically gossip. We have to be real careful about that. Whatever we do say needs to be true. And so if it isn't, we don't have any business saying it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11, we have a similar thing. And Paul uses a word play here, not busy, but busybody. And Paul uses those a lot in his letters, and the source, of course, is unnamed, who has told them that these people are being idle but it could have been Timothy, or it could have been some other person that was in the area at the time. Again, it proved to be reliable, and so it was. In neither case was it. In both cases, it passed this test. Is it true? The first one that we need to consider. The second one, is it edifying? Does it edify? Now, it may be true, but if it does not edify, that means if it does not build up your neighbor, the person that you're talking about, if it doesn't build up the person you're talking to, then you don't have any business saying that either. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, we just read verse 25. In verse 29 we read, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up or edifying, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." And so it needs to be something that is edifying. First of all, is it true? If it isn't, you just kicked it out and you got no business saying it. Second of all, let's say it is true, does it edify? That's the second test that you have to ask yourself. Is it something that is going to be encouraging? Am I telling something to somebody because it will encourage them? Whatever I saw somebody and he was helping feed the hungry, or I saw a sister in Christ, and she was doing whatever to help somebody. Is it edifying? Is it something that is going to be encouraging to the person, the subject that is being talked about, to the person that is being spoken to, and to yourself? And does it glorify and build up? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, notice what Paul says. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul says, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. That should be a top priority for us. When we talk to somebody, we should try to encourage one another, not try to break people down. And so we are to edify ourselves and others. And that's what we should be doing. Now, gossip does the opposite of that. It tears people down. It tears down our reputation justifiably because we're the ones that are participating in it. And so, you know, rest assured that even if somebody's listening to you, that they're going to be thinking, you know, Ray's a gossip. Ray, why was Ray telling me those things? Even if they participate in it, they're going to know that Ray is a gossip. You got to watch yourself around Ray because he's going to go out and tell the world, you know, what's nobody's business. And my reputation, because I'm the one that's doing the speaking, will be torn down, and it justifiably so. But it doesn't stop there. You also tear down the reputation of others, and that unjustifiably so. Because that person hasn't asked for you to do that, you may not be seeing it right or telling it right or whatever, and it's not edifying to the person. So that's the second thing you need to do. First of all, is it true? And if it is true, does it edify? Does it help or encourage the person that is being spoken of and the person that is being spoken to? And then third of all, is it necessary? Now, something could be true, and it could be edifying, but it's not necessary. Okay, and that's what Paul is talking about. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. There are some things that you have to ask yourself, do I really need to be saying this? Is it this other person's business that I participate in this? Is this something that is necessary to repeat? Even if it's true. Is it necessary that I say this? How does my saying this to somebody, how does that encourage or edify? How does that do? Or is it just idle talk? If it's not necessary, it's idle. And so it becomes idle talk. It's like that phrase, TMI, too much information. Sometimes, you know, if I sat there and told you this morning how, you know, how I got dressed, you'd be like, I don't want to know how you got dressed. That's too much information, right? Who cares? As long as you didn't come to church in a wrong way or anything like that. Sometimes you give out too much information, and don't do that because then it goes into the area of gossip. And so you have to ask yourself, and after you use it a while, you kind of get used to it, and you kind of just mentally, subconsciously go through it. Is it true? Does it edify? And is it necessary? Do I need to tell this person this, or is it just gossip? And if it passes all those tests, then it's not gossip. But if it fails in any one of them, then it could very well be gossip. once you ask yourself, well, you know what, I might be participating in gossip, but how do I overcome that? First of all, let me just give you four quick things that we can do to overcome that come from the Scripture. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, Jesus says, you remove the sin from your own life first. You take that beam out of your eye before you can help. And he said the purpose of taking the beam out of your own eye is not so that you walk around beamless, but so that you can help the other person. And you want to help the other person, but you need to examine your own life first. And so that's what you do. You examine your life. Am I participating in gossip? If I am, then I need to stop that so that I can help other people. Second of all, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19 says that we are to avoid people who are gossipers and to avoid gossip itself. And so, you know, somebody starts telling you a juicy bit of gossip, you just tell them, hey, I don't want to participate in that. And if you you know, if you see that that person continually tries, you need to just avoid that person. You need to try not to hang around with that person. If they ask you, you tell them the truth. Well, you know, I really don't want to participate in gossip, and that's what you want to participate in. I think you should stop that, and I don't really want to hang around if that's what you're going to be doing. That may not cure the person, but at least when they're around you, they're going to know that you don't do that. It's hard at first. It's hard at first because there are really, really nice people, like at work or at school or wherever you are, that, you know, that's one of the things they do. And they get their feelings hurt when you tell them things like that. But rest assured, after a little while, you know, they get over it and, you know, and they understand that, hey, I know that Ray doesn't want to participate in this sort of stuff. And so, you know, I'm not even going to go try doing that with him. And so, but you avoid them. It's better to avoid a situation than to try to correct it later. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, and chapter 5, verse 11, we're supposed to speak the truth in love. And so when we say something, we want to say something that encourages people, edifies them, and not something that is going to hurt them. So we want to speak the truth, but we want to do it in love. In chapter 5, verse 11, do not participate with the evil works of darkness, but rather expose them. And that doesn't mean be a tattletale. What that means is expose them to the light, expose them to the truth that is in the Scripture. When somebody wants to do something that is evil, participating in gossip in this case, you expose them to the Scriptures, to what God says. God says we shouldn't be gossips. God says we shouldn't be talebearers. That hurts people's reputation. You expose the sin that is in their life. You let the light of God shine on them. And then Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9, it says that one of the things that we need to do is to be able to overlook a matter or an offense. You know, don't get your feelings hurt. It may just be pride, like Diotrephes, that's causing you to talk bad about somebody or to listen to bad about somebody. You know, somebody in this nation, I don't know who, but maybe somebody, doesn't like the president. And so, you know, because of that, they may have a tendency to listen to all sorts of stuff that is said bad about the president of the United States. You know, just because you don't like somebody doesn't mean that everything that is said bad about them is true. And so you don't want to participate in gossip or you don't want to, because you don't like somebody, it doesn't mean that everything that somebody else says about them is automatically true. You want to be careful. You want to cover your sins or your attitude, make sure that it is right. And so we need to overlook an offense that somebody may have done to us, or some slight that we may feel somebody has done to us, some reason we don't like somebody, not harbor that attitude about that person that would make us have a tendency to hear and participate in the gossip. Just a couple more passages. Proverbs 11, verse 12 and 13 talks about gossip. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 and 19 talks about the biblical process. If somebody has offended you, what do you need to do? You need to go and talk to that person, first of all, and try to win that brother back. Not go and badmouth him to a whole bunch of other Christians and then come with a bunch of people to go after that guy and put him in his place. You need to go to that person first. That's the biblical process. Then if he won't hear you, then you come back with one or two. That at the mouth of two or three, everything will be established. Then it goes up to the church. There's a process that God has given. Gossip is not part of that process. Galatians chapter 6 And verse 1 tells us that if your brother is stumbled or is in a fault, you who are spiritual, help such a one. And so if you consider yourself spiritual, you're going to help that person. You're not going to gossip about that person. You're not going to go out there and try to beat that person down. You're going to try to help that person. The Lord did not put other people on earth for our entertainment, but for our love. Gossip has no business in the life of a Christian. We get to the conclusion here. Gossip can be called the eighth deadly sin. It does a lot of bad things and no good things. When you participate in it, you're doing Satan's work. Rest assured, you're not just doing something harmless. You are doing Satan's work in the church. Or in the life of people. You are doing the work of the devil and not the work of God. It needs to be said that way. The best way to handle it is to stay away from it. And you have to know the difference between gossip and sharing something that is necessary, edifying, and true information that will help the person. Are you a Christian tonight? And if you're not a Christian, God says that you can become one. Looking out, I don't see a whole lot of people that this would apply to.